Good evening, everyone. This is Wednesday night, and this is the time period that we address our attention and focus ourselves on the book, The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. So what we're going to do tonight is that very thing. We've been doing it now for a long time. We're on chapter 14 now. Chapter 14, this is, I believe it's the 13th. Is that right, Dan? This is our 13th week on the chapter. And part of it, the reason, there's a couple of reasons why. The book in itself is a profound introduction to an event called Prayer Absolute. Prayer Absolute is it's a mechanism. It's a voyaging mechanism that we can use to travel. It's a travel mechanism. It's like a boat. It's like a car. It's like an aeroplane. But you have to know how to operate that particular vehicle. The book itself is a discussion of that vehicle. And it has an enormous array of how we might be able to do that. And part of the work that we can do with it culminates in a discussion in chapter 14 about, and it's called angelic training. Now, we're a bunch of hardened rationalists coming to this darn thing, and we're not quite sure what angelic training means. We're not quite sure we even believe in angels, okay? But in the midst of the chapter is actually a profound challenge that the author gives us. And it's an experiment. Can you do this? There's an invitation hidden away. It's not like, do this. But he's indicating the fact that if we apply our attentions in a certain way in the action of Prayer Absolute, we can begin an experiment that might allow us to do something called angelic training. So we did that. So we've been doing that for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and what individuals have done, they selected, looking at page 149, take a look at page 149. On page 149, there are 7 halls indicated there. These are the celestial choirs of 7 specific aspects of the creation, and each of those halls is has a caretaker, a particular warden or archangel, and below that archangel are actually a team of angels that did all, and each one of them perform a particular type of celestial function. So the challenge that this fine author has given us, he says, well, you know what? You can actually access that. Well, how do you do that? I mean, how do you, like, access an angel, right, or an archangel? Come on. But what he says, it's quite simple. He says, delve into it, study the angel as well as you can. Now, if you look at Practical Work on Self, there's a chapter called Work Wish. And in that particular chapter, he indicates that you can, by artificial means, actually develop a real work wish. And the way you do it is you just posit a wish, a work wish, and you kind of pretend that you know it. And you pretend and you work it as if you are able to do. So let's just say that you put yourself in a position such that you actually develop a certain obligation to it. Well, these individuals looked through that book, looked through that page, and they selected certain angels and angelic choirs that seemed to fit for them. And then I got a bunch of calls and emails, and suddenly we formed independent of each other. No one was saying, well, gosh, I want to work with Ivan, so I'll pick this one. They says, I picked this particular angel, and we formed choirs from, really in a very organic manner. People just spoke. They says, I love, I just want to do Raphael. Right? And some of these are archangels that I never heard of before, Anahel and whatnot. But that's who they selected. And so these choirs formed and they took off and they started working together. So two things happen in a case like that. They start to form group. And they start to form, actually, they started to form choirness. And at that time, then they were invited to present to the rest of us here a presentation of them, in a sense, hosting their particular archangel, right? Mm-hmm. And in doing this work, each group seemed to find like a particular element of their archangel that was critical to them, was critical to what they thought that particular archangel expressed for them right now. These are infinite beings. Is Simon on?
Yes.
And these are infinite compared to us. These are infinite beings that have a reach, a huge cosmic reach, and yet we're looking at them in one aspect. Well, what aspect can I perform a particular kind of hospitality to right now and allow that hospitality to come through? And man, did we have some wonderful presentations of individuals in what I call hosting that archangel for that moment. You know, I'm stirring, I think back, and we did this last week, we did a review of it, we did a review of individuals and what they had done, and it's stirring right now to me as I think of certain parts of these events.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, then the last choir, they gave their thing a couple weeks ago, you know, Michael. And I'll never forget sitting in the group meeting when I says, well, what's the characteristic of Michael? And a particular individual says, the warrior, you know. It was just like, boom, there it was. So I look at stuff like that and I thought, well, you know, we're pretty much done. Let's move on. We got a lot of stuff to do. I've got, you know, in a month or so, I've got to get food. I've got to start the ABD, which is going to have three tracks to this when we do the ABD, which I'll get into later. But right now, so I thought, we got to move on. You know, we spent too much time on this bloody chapter. Let's go on to chapter 15, right? 14, 15. That's the last chapter in the book, and then I'm done with it. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't move on. I couldn't figure out why until I literally spoke with a little bird. And in speaking with this particular, would it be a varian?
Avian, I believe.
Avian creature.
sort of angelic also.
Oh, I don't know about that,
yeah.
But actually I know her. But
oh, okay.
What's that?
Has wings.
Definitely had wings.
Yeah, right.
And I got the impression from her that I got the clue. And the clue was I hadn't made the room for what the expression in the book is that there are seven celestial choirs represented here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some great, great individuals come forth and present for four of these seven. And so this was my hesitation. I said, well, wait a minute. Without getting counsel from this group here, I don't think I have the right to actually just move on, do I? I have to say, well, what are we going to do now? Because a couple of people have approached me over the weeks and said, I wouldn't mind doing another one. Their head's not all quite on right, but and others have too, and there's some of the groups have continued to work together as a choir because they want to get deeper into that particular space with which they're working. So my question is how to handle the fact that there are three halls that are not yet presented. Let's just put the first hall, Gabriel, let's put that one on hold for just a moment, okay? I'm going to just set that aside. I'm aware of the fact we haven't done Gabriel, but let me put that on the shelf for right now, okay? But now we have, are you on that page, Ivan?
Yes, I'm on that page.
And isn't there a sixth hall?
I believe we didn't do the seventh, sixth, and
Definitely we did the fifth.
So there's sixth and seventh, and then Gabriel.
And who is that angel?
In the first hall, I don't think we did either.
Correct, Harry. Mm-hmm. And so the sixth hall
sixth
is who again?
Zakiel.
Zakiel.
And the seventh is Cassiel.
Cassiel. So, I had a thought. And that thought was that, you know, with me, I guess I get nervous. I think, well, gosh, people are just bored of this and they want to move on, right? Excitement, get on to something more exciting, yeah, other than an archangel. And so I'm hesitant. And I thought, well, one thing we could do is form two groups, just two groups. And there might be seven or eight people, and I don't know how many people are on, and there'll be some individuals who haven't had a chance to participate in a choir yet. But in a sense, form two new choirs. Allow people to join, and then we can have like one big, one, two, three, one, it doesn't matter to me, meeting the sixth hall. We could do it in Second Life. We could do it on the phone, this phone here, whatever works for people, and just have a lot of people get together all at once and do it. So what do you think about that? And Susan, are you on? Not yet. Okay.
Comments?
Okay.
I'm on board for that. I'm interested in.
So we have the first volunteer for Cassiel. He's going to lead the group.
Oh, thanks, David. this is like a Schrodinger story where he bought the peppers, and he not only he paid for the peppers, he has to eat every last pepper if it kills him, and then he goes back and buys more.
So that's right, brother.
Story.
So there's our leader for Cassiel.
I'll help you, Ivan.
Oh, okay, Harry.
We now have a second member of the choir has come forth. So I don't know who's on right now, but okay, and just would people like to join either? I didn't hear anybody speak up yet, Tamara, for Zakiel. Did you hear anyone?
Yeah.
Oh, Tamara leapt up when I said that and said she wants to do it.
Oh, yeah, it was a leap,
all right. It was a leap. She turned over all these tables and everything.
You know, you talked about
that deal. He did.
So he was anointing you to be the leader.
He has an angel
mail. Oh, really?
Who is his marketing.
Oh, good. Well, that ought to be a really good one.
Okay.
So Zadkiel, Tamara reports that EJ got a message from Zadkiel to put in the dark hall in Second Life. Is that right?
Yes.
The dark hall.
Mall.
Oh, the dark mall. Mall. Excuse me, the dark mall.
Zadkiel is like a
marketer. Because Zadkiel does a lot of marketing. And he likes the dark mall? That's interesting. Okay.
Let's just say. Glad he gave it to EJ.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so we have two groups starting to form. We have two leaders that will do it. What about everybody? Is anybody else interested in spending some time on the formation of these choirs and on bringing that space to our broader group in such a way that we can all participate, in a sense, in that invocation of these particular angels like Kasiel?
David, I'd like to volunteer for Kasiel myself. I've always had an intuitive sense for him. And
perfect.
So if the balance,
wait,
if I'm not getting out of balance.
Who's writing this down?
Scribe.
Okay.
You're going to scribe this?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Right.
So we have the Tres Amigos here for Kasiel. Is that my understanding?
So far.
Yep. Okay, and then is anybody online? They're not I can't look at them and say anything. So
Path and Mark is on and Lost Horizon.
Nothing with
you. Path has volunteered for which one again?
I'm just saying these are folks that are online currently.
Oh, I see.
Not that they have. I wasn't volunteering them.
Mark Roche is greeting us, letting us know he's here, and he's volunteering for which one again? Mark?
I think David's been working with Vadkill.
How about people that didn't have an opportunity to join in any of the choirs? Well, I know that, but the reason I want to capture him is because even if he doesn't do anything, he's not a bad guy to have around, right? He worked magic with Raphael. Yeah. It's an illusion that we don't have enough time to do this. We always think we're way too busy. But what actually occurs is that it'll take about 2 to 3 hours out of your time to do it. The problem with it is that you have to awaken the machine to do this kind of work. It can't just be done mechanically. It means you have to actually direct your attention to something. When you direct your attention to something, something comes back at that time. That starts to be the process called the transformation of the transformative effect of the machine and its interplay with the essential self. That's how it happens. You put yourself in a way of that.
I think that meeting in Second Life, I think, is very beneficial.
It's beneficial and it's simple.
It seems to me like a reminding factor for us to sit in one of those spots, locations in the ashram, and have that meeting with a lot of people. Okay.
All right, Mark. Circa.
The A-team.
No, it's the Z-team. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah. I'm going to disagree with Mark a little bit there. We so desperately want to keep our human form, so to speak. We want to keep it. We want to believe that everything's external, linear. You know, he's stronger than I am. She's taller than I am. Has better shoes. This one has more money.
Wow.
And you know, we think, and that's the proof of it. We're working in a different way. A couple of people are working with an individual right now who can't talk. He's in some phase of terminus. I was with him for several hours with a professional accompanying me with this individual, and I can guarantee you that the work we did at a certain point definitely reached him and affected him. And when we started a particular process with him, the space became hermetically sealed, and he was part of that. So the work he was doing was not linear, Mark, R. We are spiritual beings. We are that. It's how much do we want to own of that? How much responsibility do we want to take for being that? And we go, oh, well, let's see. Harry wrote all this stuff. So better. Harry did what Harry does. Tamara did what she did. And you did what you did. All of that made the whole. That's the truth. I mean, for me, when I heard what you first said, the very first meeting, that inspired me in a particular manner that kept me going throughout the whole process with this particular group. So if we can accept the fact and own the fact that we are spiritual entities and that we are vibrational signatures that flow through here, every one of us is uniquely different, totally uniquely different. And if we can allow ourselves to not be imprisoned in our linear selves, then we can have a little bit of freedom to do this kind of really fun stuff, you know. I'm really a cheat on it and a thief of sorts, because for me, I've come into these groups. I'm not part of the group, and yet I participate in a certain way, and I get a lot back. I really, really do by this the wonderful work individuals are doing. So we have to think of ourselves as angelic, and if we can own that, then our influence comes partially through intent. But if the intent is born out of the essential self, it's one thing. It's born out of conscience that we have to help the concept of relieving the suffering of the absolute and the the second line in the Bodhisattva vow of, you know, the number of beings is limitless. And I vow to help save them all. What a bold statement, right? But that's how we do it. Because if we can put ourselves in a place where our essential self is developed, then we are help to all of mankind, all of our fellows, our pets, our dogs, our mosquitoes. They are beings.
All sentient beings
that we are. Then, because we've done our work, we can provide something for each and every one of us. So, how's my volunteering going over there? Like Moses, he's got a great voice. This guy is spectacular voice. Yeah.
Well, David, I like what you're touching on here, you know, in regard to separation, you know, like being the ego, you know, or the separate entity, because you know, I just posted something which you probably haven't seen yet. I read over that long post of Harry's about, you know, working on projects, and I had a couple of thoughts about it, you know, and one of them was that it seems to me, just like you've identified the position that this chapter is in the book, you know, and where it comes in, I got the idea from reading Harry's thoughts there about the choir, the angelic choir, that this is a angel training that has a requirement, which is that it's not how I personally do the prayer absolute, or it's not the inner voice. I think Harry made mention of the of how separate, you know, we all have we tend to have a concept of how God would speak to us individually, separate or isolated we are, and so on. And I think that this is the invitation or the influence that EJ's having is to undertake this training that has to be done in a circle, with a circle of people, because I as an individual cannot invoke this angel. It's way beyond me. It's beyond my shape, beyond my powers.
Correct.
But it's by submerging or surrendering in a circle, you create this landing platform. That struck me about it. But it's a different issue than what my conscience is, or what this voice, you know, like Socrates the daimon, or the still small voice inside me, you know, that speaks somehow that I understand. But this is not that separate experience. It's the angelic training that goes on in a circle of people.
So let's underline a couple of things that Ivan said. Creates the landing platform.
Well, you're talking about, yeah, we're inviting. Hospitality is the great concept. It's like you're inviting that angel to manifest, to visit, let's say, or to participate in something here among us.
At least touch the doorbell, you know? At least crack the door open just a little bit. That's enough. And some of this kind of work, it's not possible to do on your own. And now I'm not talking about like, oh, well, others will tell you what your faults are. That's ego. That's ego too.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is having the collective presence such that there's enough more there that a different form of entity truly can come through. Simon, you know, has a background with Castaneda's work and how these guys called forth these powerful beings that were frightening to them, called their, you know, allies. They were terrified when they got close to them. Well, I'll tell you something. If we got close, truly got close to the heart of these entities, we would quake with fear. Quake because we would be less than, we would fear for our own existence in a particular way. But doing it as a group, we can invite in a certain way in a less threatening manner. Liturgy means the work of the people. Kianjo.
David, the deer has said he can volunteer, or she. I don't know who this person is.
I do.
She.
Powerhouse.
She says she would prefer Cassio, but does Zodkiel need more people? And Lost Horizon responded, so far we have 3 for Cassio and 2 for Zodkiel.
And Vadir, thank you for being open in that regard. When this individual puts herself in the path, stuff happens. Just remember that. And so I've written your name under Zakiel, and we'll go from there.
To finish the thought, David, it's odd, but I'm still thinking that it would be beneficial to have Tabitha come here and demonstrate that particular set of movements.
Well put.
You know, that are angel training. And the thing that strikes me about that is, again, it's not something that I do in front of a mirror, you know, like to perfect my movements. It's like the major aspect of it is angel training is that you get in synchronous. You get in synchronicity with other people, again, that you're training with.
That you're training with.
Yeah, well, you start to, the deal is that you, after a while, you start to breathe together. You know, you're having the same breath.
So we're talking about a particular kind of breathing that can only be accomplished when you click into that. You're a singer. And you can tell that, you can tell when you've hit the note just right. Isn't there like a clear vibratory sense that kind of flows through you? Speak of a person that I'm working with and with voice. She says that it's not, you know, it's not what you, the best part of singing is your ability to listen. It comes through here, which is totally not. Boy, does it make sense. So can we listen together and form some type of angelic expression then? That's okay.
Simon says, count me in.
I'm counting you in, and shall I count you under the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Shall you become the four horsemen of the apocalypse and be under Kasael? I think so.
Before, as you just designated us as the four.
Yes. Well, you were the three.
We better get another volunteer.
Yeah. So, Simon, you'll be under Kasael with Ivan, Harry, and George. Excellent. See? Who? Okay.
Is that Simon? Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Speak French. The first thing I want to know is why there are only three angels for the seventh hall.
If we look at the last portion of the chapter 14, one of the things, and I think one of the things that inspired me to bring this topic up anyway, was that on top of 155, our author indicates each of the choirs taking its turn to provide relief for the others would share the obligation of upholding the throne by singing accolades and sacred canticles and performing the movements which represent the mathematical reality of creation while at the same time concentrating the fullest possible force of attention in support of the throne, which is the exalted dimension of the soul absolute itself. So these are the places we step into, and it's just an incredible opportunity. These opportunities, because there's 20 or 25, 30 of us that get together every so often, that's why it's an opportunity. There's a lot of mileage that these individuals have put together. And you tap into that in order to provide yourself with an opportunity for a kind of work that you can't do on your own. Okay? Let me, you know, I'm very interested why other people aren't volunteering. Dan says he doesn't want to volunteer because he can't volunteer for more for some, I don't know why. But just, why not? We're not talking about a life a study here. We're talking about a few hours to put something together for everybody else. Tamara's as busy as anybody. There's a fear that I can't do it, right? I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to concentrate. Cameron says that volunteering has to do with surrender. You're not surrendering. I mean, you're not doing it for anybody else, really. But you are putting yourself in the way of the work, aren't you? When you do that, you're putting yourself in the way of the freight train that comes and hits you. it's a way of work that is put yourself under obligation to others. It is a form of work that is a form of work you can't do on your own. You can, in imagination, you can. But here we're talking about actually performing, actually doing something. Okay, fair enough.
Actually, David, I discovered that not knowing anything about it at all was not a bad place to start.
We don't know about this stuff. we're neophytes. We have a lot of time in grade, and we have a lot of us as individuals have, we're skilled operatives in many ways. But yes, we have a long ways to go. But this is a way to do it. I don't know what we think that the work is. You know, this, what is it? It's like we think it's some magical thing. This is how it unfolds itself. Going down and visiting somebody is a form of it, whether they can talk or not. Because the individual, you're putting yourself on the line to do something. This is how that work unfolds. Okay, so go ahead, Ivan.
Just read a little piece of this.
Please.
I just found on page 156 here, close to the chapter, groping up towards the third paragraph down on 156, EJ has written, "Of course, the temple ritual itself represents something genuine in the non-phenomenal world. And one is expected to transcend one's own personal identity during the service in order to intentionally identify with more exalted beings in the choir in which one has initiate status." And that initiate status is in italics. And then he goes on, he's talking about the actual foundation of church tradition, the background of church choirs and church ritual.
Right.
And, you know, again, all of this has to do with, like, a reflection of the higher a dimension where these, all of these angelic crown of creation. It goes on here and says, the initiations for each choir consist of moving emotional and mental instructions for identification with an angel of that choir, which would be completely secret to those who are not initiated into that choir. Otherwise, one might involuntarily wander into identification with a choir higher than that into which one has taken initiation. So regarding this, we're all doing like the fools rush in where angels fear and tread, which is my favorite mottos. Passing from one choir to another is always by the process of study, assumption of greater obligation, which you were talking about.
Yes.
And when understanding dawns upon one, the transcending stage of self-initiation. The technique for passing from one choir to the next is never the same. I like this a lot.
Good.
Actually, the technique for passing from one choir to the next is never the same. And the methods change as one moves inward to more and more exalted dimensions. Then he goes on, this is a slightly different topic. Angelic beings are very much like ourselves, except in their arising. They were created at the highest stage of evolution, yet they cannot evolve. Play, creation story verbatim. In a sense, they were made to occupy the posts they now occupy and to have no other interest beyond the work, as it relates to the maintenance of the throne. They are no more or less intelligent than a human being. They have squabbles among themselves, although not as human beings would. Nor are these the same trifles over which human beings struggle with one another. Also that topic. And then he goes on, someday I hope to build a cathedral on a small scale, an exact representation of the throne, the choirs, and the assembly chambers corresponding to that of each of the choirs of angels. Should someone happen along who could finance a small cathedral to be built in exact conformity to the choirs and the throne, should all the factors of its building and decor be exactly corresponding to the higher, and in addition, should every individual participating in sacred prayer identify exactly with each of the beings in the higher dimension of the work, then the congregation ought to pass from this world into the higher dimensions, leaving no trace of themselves in this world, although the cathedral itself would remain.
Yeah.
A couple more paragraphs. Well, that's a good one. Right there. This is sounds like there's a legend about the Kabbalists, huh, Harry, you know, that if they had held the perfect Seder or the perfect seance and the prayer and the circle and so on, they would all be transported. Not only would they all be transported immediately to Jerusalem from where they were sitting, but they would usher in the Messianic Age.
Right.
Yes, follow in the footsteps of Enoch.
Right.
I think this was Gomedus did a lot of work like that. I Googled him. It was interesting reading.
Yeah, that's what he says right here, the last couple of paragraphs in this chapter about Gomedus.
So real quickly then, how do you want to actually do this? We can either do one presentation next week and then another one the following week, or two brief conversations, presentations next week, 15, impossible, two weeks. Okay. You agree?
We can do them both one time.
What about the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Are people going to attend? Are we gonna...
That's not next week. After.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are we asking for 2 weeks to do the preparation?
No.
Rather
been doing.
But do nothing next week? No.
Well,
they look ready to me.
Okay, well.
They look ready.
Duh. Cassio.
Okay.
I see, okay.
So then, that means that you, Harry, Simon,
Silverdale.
George,
yeah.
Have to meet between now and then.
Between now and when, David? Next week?
Next week.
You're going to present next week.
I need Ivan's phone number. If you would wait after class here and give it to me.
Okay, we'll do that after class. I suggest that all of us, we set a meeting time, but what we do is all of us do, a rapid but intensive research of our own and bring all that to a meeting. We should only count on having one meeting or at most two before doing this presentation.
That's why you're the boss, Ivan. That's good direction.
Maybe I should be the leader that doesn't do anything.
And then, Silverdale, you'll tie this into the prayer absolute as you offered in your presentation on Sandalphon, right?
Yes, I will. I'll prepare a brief and email it to Ivan and Harry and
Simon.
Simon, yeah.
Go ahead and copy me on it.
And you, and of course.
If I'm available, which I will most likely be, I'll be happy to join you at your meeting.
Okay.
And then, Zakiel, are you friends with Mark Circa is on Second Life.
Yes.
Badir is on Second Life.
Okay. AM or PM?
Before then?
Yeah, he does a reading.
Who does?
Mark.
Oh, good. Okay.
What
so
about
Badir,
the what
Badir
about
is in Toronto. So it's,
yeah, what about the Cassio group? Would that be a good time for us also, 7 o'clock on Sunday evening?
Well, don't do it at the same time, then I can.
Oh, well, you could jump back and forth.
Yeah, but
we'll
I don't
do it someplace else in Second Life.
I even remember mine. My time here is 2 hours difference.
Be nine
so
for
I'll,
you.
I'd be nine. That's fine with me.
Is it okay? What about Simon?
Yeah, but if you're, I'm trying to say, don't make it at the same time.
Don't make it at the same time. All right. Okay.
If you want to make it an hour earlier, then
that would be fine with me also. Or a day earlier.
Or a day earlier is perfect.
Saturday will be terrible for me. Then. I'm pretty much tied up on Saturday.
How about Sunday at 6?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Simon, does that work for you? Sunday at 6?
That'll be 8 my time next time.
Okay. Yeah, that's earlier for you, yeah.
That's even better.
For all of us, everybody in Second Life?
No.
Simon, no?
Simon... 6 our time would be 9 o'clock your time. So just responding
right.
to what you wrote.
Oh, is he in Toronto too?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well that's not too late.
And how are we, Ivan, will you initiate a conference call to the other three of us, or do we want to meet on this
I
think that's a great idea.
Okay, well, maybe I can get that information from David, and we'll figure out how to do that, because I could do it from my office, probably, or home, I guess. Is it? No, it's not a...
Not an 800.
It's not an 800 number, okay.
So,
you
send out a confirming email.
All right.
Okay, and add me to it. Tamara, you're going to send out a confirming email.
Yes.
And add me to it. Yours will be in Second Life, and yours is going to be on this conference line.
Okay.
Okay? That works for him, too. Most excellent.
And Ivan, when you send out when you send out this confirming email, maybe you could provide Harry and, well, I have each of your emails, so I can email you directly myself what I want to submit.
I'll probably do that
by Friday night.
I'll probably get your email.
Thank you,
David.
George.
Yeah,
I need your email address, Ivan, as well.
I'll email everybody when I get home tonight, everybody else's email.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. This is also a different, this is also a form of work where you have no time to do an impossible task, and yet you're required to do it, right?
We're going to make the jaguar fly. We're going to teach the jaguar to fly, actually.
You never know. Still one more night.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I understand. They're going to do it on the phone.
Yeah, I'll get all this information down about how to do the conference.
Okay. I think that's it for tonight. Did we cause enough trouble there? Good.
No,
so,
no benediction necessary.
No benediction necessary. You get your communion wafers on the way out.
Funny thing happened to me on the way to Second Life.
Okay. Interesting meeting. I'm glad some people stepped forth. If others who are too shy and change their mind, you can send me an email and we can see if it is time for you to fit in on some of those other choirs. So thanks for coming this evening. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday when Cassiel will come forward. Good night.
Thanks, David and Ivan.
Hey, hang on.